ರಮಣ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ, ಆರ್ಥರ್ ಆಸ್ಬೋರ್ನ್. ರಮಣ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ, ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ರಮಣ, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಸೇಮ್. ರಮಣ ಈಸ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ, ದಿ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಶಿವ. ಶಿವ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ರೈಟ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಇನ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್. ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ದಟ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ವೋಕ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ವಂಡರ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಹಿಯರ್ ಕನ್ ಇಟ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇನ್ಸೆನ್ಷಿಯಂಟ್ ಹಿಲ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟೀರಿಯಸ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್. ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಏಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನೋಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಶೋನ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ವಾಸ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರ್ಪಾಸಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡರ್. ಬಟ್ ಈವನ್ ವೆನ್ ಐ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ನೋ ಥ್ರೂ ಅನದರ್ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ದಿ ಸೇಮ್ ಆಸ್ ತಿರುವಣ್ಣಾಮಲೈ, ಐ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್. ವೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಡ್ರೀವ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಇಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಐ ಕೇಮ್ ಕ್ಲೋಸ್, ಐ ಸಾ ಇಟ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಅನ್ಮೂವಿಂಗ್. ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಅಷ್ಟಕಂ ವರ್ಸ್ 1 ಬೈ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀರಮಣ ಮಹರ್ಷಿ. ವೆನ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಅಟೈನ್ಡ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಬೈ ಎ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ವೈಲ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಎ ಬಾಯ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಟೀನ್ಸ್, ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಟು ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ದಟ್ ಹೀ ಕೇಮ್, ಲೀವಿಂಗ್ ಹೀಸ್ ಹೋಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ. ಡಿಡ್ ಇಸ್ ದೌ ನಾಟ್ ಕಾಲ್ ಮೀ ಇನ್? ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಮ್, ನೌ ಮೈಂಟೈನ್ ಮೀ, ಸಚ್ ಈಸ್ ದೈ ಬರ್ಡನ್ ಓ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಅಕ್ಷರವಣ ಮಾಲೈ ವರ್ಸ್ 94. ಈ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ. ಅ ರು ಅಂಡ್ ಣ ಸಿಗ್ನಿಫೈ ಸತ್ ಚಿತ್ ಆನಂದ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್, ದಿ ಇಂಡಿವಿಜುವಲ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದರ್ ಯೂನಿಯನ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಒನ್ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯ ತತ್ವಮಸಿ ದಟ್ ದೌ ಆರ್ಟ್. ಅಚಲ ಸಿಗ್ನಿಫೈಸ್ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಷನ್. ಸೊ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಆಫ್ ಶೈನಿಂಗ್ ಗೋಲ್ಡನ್ ಲಸ್ಟರ್. ಫಾರ್ ಮಿಯರ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಎನ್ಶ್ಯೂರ್ಸ್ ಡೆಲಿವರೆನ್ಸ್. ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಲೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ 9 ಜಮ್ಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ 2. ಶಿವ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ, ದಿ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯರ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಗ್ನೋರೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಈಗೋ. ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಪಾತ್ ಆನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ರಿಚುವಲ್ ಆರ್ ಅನ್ನೆಸೆಸರಿ. ದಿ ಪುರಾಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ 30 miles ಆಫ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ನೋ ಇನಿಷಿಯೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ನೀಡೆಡ್. ದಿ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ತಮಿಳ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಗೋಸ್ ದಟ್ ಮೇರ್ಲಿ ಟು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಈಸ್ ಎನಫ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರಮಣ ಟಾಟ್ ದಿ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಪಾತ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ರಿಲಿಜಿಯಸ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್. ದಿ ನೇಮ್ ತಿರುವಣ್ಣಾಮಲೈ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಮೌಂಟೇನ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋ ಆಕ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಶ್ರಮ್ is there at the foot of Arunachala. Having arrived at Arunachala as a boy sage, Dakshinamurti, Shiva, the youthful sage teaching in silence, Bhagavan never left it again. But it was many years before his ashram grew up. Although realization had come through one single act of self-inquiry and had remained stabilized ever since, not wavering or intermittent as usually happens, the mortal vehicle needed time to adapt itself to the role of guru, and for many years he lived in caves and temples on or near Arunachala, avoiding people so far as he could. It was a long while before he accepted permanent followers, and not until 1922, when he was already in his 40s, did he come to live at the foot of the hill where his ashram now is. His mother had been living with him at Skandashram, a cave ashram on the slope of the hill. She died attaining liberation in death through his ministrations. The body was buried at the foot of the southern slope of the hill, and he took up his residence there. A thatched shed was put up for him and another over the grave. There was significance in all this. He himself said that it was no decision of his to go and live there, but he felt an inner compulsion that it was the appropriate, the inevitable thing to do. For a quarter of a century, he had been living on and around Arunachala, complete spiritually but maturing humanly. In the last phase, that at Skandashram, his mother was living there too as a disciple, and brought a Shakti element to the ashram. This element centered henceforth at her shrine. The Maharshi ceased now to wander or change abode. The ashram that grew up around him was the focal center from which his grace radiated. He never again left it. He was fully aware of the spiritual center that was growing up there. He declared that Arunachala was the spiritual center of the world. His younger brother Niranjananda Swami became the Sarvadhikari or director of the ashram and labored ceaselessly to construct suitable ashram premises and a temple over the mother's shrine. This was the outer aspect of the work the Maharshi was preparing spiritually in constructing a spiritual center. From this time, his fame began to spread and devotees flocked to him from all over India and from abroad also. The Sarvadhikari's work was not easy. Especially, the construction of the temple went slowly. It was done by master craftsmen working according to the Shastras with granite. Building a temple in such a way is both laborious and expensive, and it was completed only a few months before the Maharshi's mortal journey ended. About the same time, another step was taken also for the perpetuation of this center, which had now become Ramana Arunachala. The Maharshi approved of a will drawn up by a number of senior devotees, declaring that the ashram was to remain a spiritual center and to be controlled by the Sarvadhikari and his descendants. He not only approved but expressed his views strongly and clearly as recorded at the time. Then the time came, April 14, 1950, when he left the body and a bright light was seen trailing across the sky to the northeast to disappear behind the peak of Arunachala. There remained now the ashram, the Ramana Arunachala center he had made so potent. He had said, "They say I am leaving, but where could I go? I am here." He is here in the spaceless, timeless eternity of the spirit, but he is also here in his ashram at the foot of Arunachala. Spiritual influences act through human agencies. A terrifically powerful presence was felt at his ashram, but it was up to his followers to canalize and maintain it, to keep it clear and potent. This was and is to be done by continued meditation and prayer. It is done in various ways. It is done through the Sri Chakra Puja that was instituted in the new temple. It is done through the Mountain Path, the quarterly magazine the ashram has launched. But one essential way it had to be done was by constructing a worthy shrine over the tomb of the Maharshi. This work could not be taken up at once, as the ashram suffered a severe material setback after the Maharshi left the body and struggled through a few lean years. When it became possible to take it up, the work went slowly. For one thing, just as the Sarvadhikari had to build various ashram buildings as well as the temple, so his successor Sri Venkataraman had to carry out an extensive program of residential building, as so many visitors began to come here for longer or shorter periods. Also, apart from that, the same tradition was carried on to work by master craftsmen according to the rules of the Shastras out of granite-like stone from around Arunachala. The final completion and consecration of the shrine, therefore, marks an epoch in the life of the ashram. It is no mere dedication of a new building. After Bhagwan left the body, daily pujas with chanting of the Vedas were carried on at his tomb. Devotees sitting in meditation the while, as they did in his presence during his lifetime. Some years ago, this practice had to be transferred elsewhere owing to the building operations. Now it will be brought back to the completed shrine. All feel that an achievement is being consummated and a new epoch started. May the grace of the Bhagavan give splendor to it. In April 1950, Bhagavan was very ill. Yet even in the state of utter prostration, when unable to sit up, he insisted that all who had come for his darshan must be allowed to have their desire fulfilled. So they were allowed to pass in a queue in front of the room where he was lying. There were always many people in the queue, and it was so long that a person had not more than a second or two for his darshan. Even these silent marches past were not without some incident or other to show how compassionate and alert Bhagwan was. One timid devotee who was never known to have talked to Bhagwan or to sit in the hall anywhere except in the back rows, summoned up courage to throw a slip of paper at the feet of Bhagwan as he passed along. Bhagwan took the slip, read it, and asked for the person to be brought. The attendants fetched him before Bhagwan as though he were a culprit to be reprimanded for breaking discipline. Sri Bhagwan looked him full in the face with a broad and benign smile and nodded assent. The slip contained the words, "Bhagwan, save me.